Luke 3. We're still in verse 3. Anybody have any thoughts about yesterday? Or anybody remember what we studied yesterday morning? I don't.
Good. Jeff really liked it. He said it was the best sermon you've ever preached. What he told me afterwards.
I guess that's why I'm pretty
nice, because you hurt so bad.
All right, let's see what we can do today.
So you were subconsciously doing it because you were still crystallized.
Verse 3, and he came into, he meaning, who are they talking about? Who are we studying right now?
John the Baptist.
Yeah. Do you have to look at it?
No.
Okay.
No, but I remember.
I thought it was a great question.
It was. Well, who is the he in verse? Who is the he in verse 3? Everybody got it now? That's John the Baptist. And he came into all the country round about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. We spent a whole lot of time yesterday on the baptism of repentance. I kind of remember that now. But we didn't spend enough time on remission. The baptism of repentance for the remission of sin.
Sins.
Well, it's in the Greek, it can be either one, so they've made it sins, plural.
Okay.
Remission is a thesis, and it comes from the idea that you are if you divorce your wife, that would be remission. If you left a country or left someplace, or it's like it doesn't exist anymore. So the remission thing is the critical issue, but it's more critical to see that it's not talking about remission of trespasses, but remission of sin. Trespasses are what you do. Sin is who you are.
So that's remission from yourself.
Remission, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Why? Because the whole idea of you personified being sin. That's because it's buried in baptism, then there is no more you. Do you understand the simplicity of that?
Was this, you talked before about baptism being common. This sounds like...
His was totally uncommon.
Yeah, but this wasn't like baptism into the name of Jesus.
Yes, it was.
Sure. I thought he hadn't.
No. Before, remember, they baptized for years between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Now, what was that baptism?
They baptized in the name of the Father and in the name of the Spirit.
But then that wasn't the baptism of remission.
When the baptism of repentance.
Repentance.
Right. But then, if the Jews that had already been baptized in the name of the Father and the name of the Spirit, then they were rebaptized in the name of Jesus.
And this just kind of falls in between, it sounds like.
What?
The baptism of repentance.
No, the baptism of repentance is total. It's gone, everything. These others were just getting wet.
But this is not in the name of Jesus here.
Jesus. But that's what it can't be. If you're buried, then in the name of Jesus can only mean he lives. You die.
But Jesus hadn't fulfilled his ministry.
It doesn't matter. He fulfilled it in type. That's the whole point. When he was baptized, that he was the death of him as Son of Man. Remember how we've talked about this?
Yeah, I know. It's just a sequence here.
There's no get out of sequence. Sequence doesn't mean anything.
But there is a sequence.
There's only a sequence in time.
It's like when Abraham saw Jesus day.
He was baptized.
He was baptized. And that was long before Jesus came to sequence.
When finally Jacob admitted that he was the snake, the Antichrist, his name was changed. So he was baptized, conceptually, in repentance. Abraham, and Abram was baptized in repentance, and his name was changed to Abraham.
Okay, the reason I bring it up is because later on they're going to do baptism in the name of Jesus.
No.
This
is the baptism of repentance. This is the baptism of the name of Jesus. This is the others, when all these people that were baptizing for years, it was an act of washing. It was only a type.
I'm glad you asked that question, because that clarifies, because there is a distinction in Acts, been baptizing in the name of the Father and the Spirit, and now Jesus, but now this clarifies what that really means. The fullness of it is the baptism of repentance, of completely,
the same thing,
completely leaving self behind.
So when John was baptizing people, what was that?
He baptized them. He gave them the baptism of repentance. That means their burial. Then it was, and for those people, it was the knowing, the full faith that the age of Messiah is come. In physicality, it wasn't completed for 3.5 more years. That's the mystical 42 months that's always talked about in the scriptures. It's the time from when it conceptually happens to the time of its... In you, it's the time your baptism of repentance is the baptism of your death. And you're in effect waiting for the revelation of the resurrection of Christ in you. I mean, it's an act of faith. But in fact, it happened before the foundation of the world. Amen.
So is your baptism the sanctification of your death?
Not sanctification. The baptism seals it. Your baptism seals it forever. That you are dead. Your flesh is no more to be tested. The only thing that's going on now is, are you going to continue with him in his test, or believe something's going on with you? Remember the definition of a disciple. You are they that continued with me in my temptation. What it was his temptation? Singular. To lean on his own arm of understanding. To in any way trust his feelings or in his emotions. They were meaningless to him. And they should be meaningless to you. Probably anger.
It's like you saying, don't have any feelings, but people do. I do. I have feelings.
That's not the point. That's not the point of having them. Who are you going to believe? Again, let me ask you one question, and let it sink. Have your emotions, your feelings, or your mind, your thoughts, ever once been your friend in your entire life? I promise you, you could analyze it forever. There may be a momentary advantage, but the end is the same. And so then we know, and the Bible declares it, that all activities of man, all thoughts, every feeling of emotion, all of it has been our enemy. Just as Solomon said, whatever his eye saw, or whatever was there, whatever he wanted, he got. He had all the money in the world, and whatever he wanted, he got. He had, 700 wives and 900 concubines or some such thing? Whatever it was. And he said, no matter what it was, it's all empty and fruitless and chasing wind. Now, I know a lot about chasing wind. Because I, in my limited way, whatever I saw, I went after. And most of the time, God. And I can testify that every thought and every idea and every plan and every emotion that I've ever had is an enemy of God. That I owe it nothing. And the type of it, that's why Paul said, I have suffered the loss of all things. He's not talking about material things. That's simple. He suffered the loss of all things that made him Paul. But that's not just that. Anybody can suffer the loss of all things. But he counted all those things dung. Now that was a curse word at this time. It's excrement. Now how come? That's a perfect picture. Now again, I ask you, does it take you any, unless you're mentally ill, do you ever go down and play in your excrement? Mold it? Put it on for makeup, give it off as a gift, never. Go play in somebody else's excrement?
No.
Of course not. Well, why is it so hard then to walk away from you? Why is this remission so apparently difficult to you? It is difficult to you because you think it is important. You haven't yet counted all things but down. You're still going to do something. You're still going to accomplish something. You're still going to be somebody. You're still going to get something. That's why the Lord is my shepherd. I shall never again want. What? Well, that's all right. Now, it's going to get more interesting here in a minute. Now, let's go to Hebrews. Chapter 10. Remember, we're studying remission.
I thought for a moment about the bleeding of the sheep. You know, a lot of people, when they do baptism, they get rid of all the bad stuff in their life. Keep the good stuff for God.
Oh, that's just there. No, they're really keeping the good stuff for themselves.
I know what I was going to ask you.
What?
Was it hard or easy for you to walk away from your stuff?
Was it what? Well, it was relatively easy because I'd done everything I wanted to do. I'd been everywhere I wanted to go. And there wasn't any there.
Well.
No, that's why we are a body, Ronnie.
Right.
Remember? If it wasn't a Seder, 10 to 20 people, then in order for us to see the emptiness of all activities, I will never know the emptiness of trying to be an Olympic athlete. But Gary, if he's honest, does. I will never know the emptiness and the futility of Wall Street. But John and Carolyn do. So each one of us brings something to the table. And that by empathy, we can share each other's experience so that we can know that we know that we know that all is vanity and vexation of spirit. All is empty and fruitless and chasing wind. Now, if you don't have the capacity for empathy, then you're in deep trouble. Because then you're going to either have to know the fear of God so bad that the fear of God will trump all of these wants and issues, or you're going to have to run, you're going to have to go try to do everything. But if you're still living in your mind, even though you failed, then the world isn't crucified unto you. You are crucified unto the world, but is it isn't crucified unto you. Well, what do? Well, you better ask God to reveal the emptiness and futility of any idea or thought that you have. And there better be openness among the brethren so that you can, by empathy, share in another's knowledge and experience of the futility of human effort and your own activities. This is the basis of Christianity. Otherwise, you as a dead man. That's why there's zombie movies. A bunch of dead men out there trying to become something.
Vampire.
Looking for life.
Sucking blood.
Can't stand light.
Yeah.
There can't be a movie or a thought. There can't be a music. There can't be any aspect, anything that exists in time and space that can't, by which he isn't revealed yet. But only you have, if you have eyes to see. Otherwise, you will see at a thing and lust after it. Never get it, so you live in your fantasy world. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Did I say that already?
You said Hebrews, you didn't say what chapter.
What are you doing, Gary?
Oh, I'm just fantasizing.
Hebrews 10, verse. Okay.
It's amazing to me how there's nothing but sin.
That's right.
You know, it's just, that's what the world is based on. Lust and concupiscence. There's constant enticement.
But how can you possibly still be enticed by it? That's what I don't understand.
I'm making an observation about what...
Just for other people.
Well, no, what we have been placed in. Now, you are not so much involved in a lot of it.
Because I hang out in my room.
You hang out in your backyard.
That's my cave.
Yeah. But if you are involved, go ahead and say so. I don't know. I can't speak for you.
Well, I'm kind of involved with the Senate Finance Committee.
Yeah.
Involved with housing projects. And involved in a lot of stuff.
Is that sin?
No, it's just what's put in front of me. Probably it's no more important than mowing the lawn.
That's not exactly what I was talking about there.
So you didn't go out seeking this stuff. It kind of is.
There's not one thing that we're doing that was ever planned. Not one. And everything that we thought we planned failed.
Yeah. Oh, a great idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, isn't that true for all of us? In everything? Pete never planned to work for an idiot either, nor did Joyce Anna. I'm not Joyce Anna anymore. Carolyn certainly never planned to work for an idiot.
She sought the job diligently.
And it's because of all this pay we're getting.
That's right, high paying job.
And all the love we get from everybody.
Yeah. The warm fuzzies are just everywhere.
I can't take any. I mean, there should be no identity if somebody's against you. But I mean, that's you will be hated of all men. If they don't hate you, they don't know you. He was rejected of all men, still is. He was despised by all men, still is. So they reshaped Jesus after their own understanding. Okay, this is really important. And we're not going to get. I didn't. I never even planned to talk about this. All right. Hebrews 10, verse 16. And this is a quote in the Old Testament. That's why it's in the future tense. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sin and iniquities will I remember no more. That's a quote from, anybody know? Ezekiel. Now, this is the, but that's everybody can, you can sort of conceive that. I mean, it's like a thing, you know, it's like a philosophy, right? But then comes the Acts. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. No more offering for sin. Now what's an offering? It's something you present. It's something that you put forward. An offering is a promise, an oath, a vow, a contract. No. The many prayers are offerings. What is it? What is it? What is it? How is it an offering? All this time I got drunk all the time, I got the dry heaves and stuff. I even believed in God, I thought. I said, God, if get me out of this and I'll never drink again. I'll never drink again is an offering. It's a promise. It's a vow. And what did it do? It resurrected the evil one. Any promise, any vow, you resurrect the evil one, and then there's no more offering for sin. A little bit.
Yeah, there's no offering because of your death.
You're just playing your shadow boxing.
Why would there be?
You're playing video games. Yeah. But that's, don't you understand, most religion is based on offerings?
Yeah.
The only thing you do is, offering you make is Christ in you. And you make that offering by your death. You presented yourself on the altar as an apparently living sacrifice. But you are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, but not you, but Christ that liveth in you. So you're sanctified by the renewing. You're transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Renewing to what? To bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, to every emotion. This isn't difficult. It's the simplest thing. It's as simple as breathing. Think about your prayers. How many offerings you make in a prayer? Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Let your yea be yea. Let your nay be nay. There's no more. We're out of time. Anybody have any response to any of this?
About 1,000.
Yeah.
You got to speak up.
I have some responses.
Go ahead.
I don't know what they are. saying stirred something in me.
Good. I think it stirred anger from whatever it was I said, because I saw it in your countenance.
Really?
But whatever it is, don't give rest to your eyes or sleep to your head until you find out the habitation of the Holy One of Israel. That's the most important thing that you have to do. And that Holy One of Israel's residence is in you, but you must know it. You must know your own selves. You must have proven to your own selves. You must know your own self that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. If you're reprobate, which means you're incapable of repentance, you can only do the repentance of the world. Oh, I'm sorry I did this, I'm sorry of that, and then make an offering with it. It's not difficult. It's as simple as breathing. The only thing is it costs you your life. It costs you your right to yourself. A little bit. This is why it says, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Salt is the component of eternity. Not just your speech, your thoughts. There's no thought that can stand against it as finished. There's no feeling that can stand against you been perfected by one offering forever. There's no need that can exist when you know that you own all things. It's a mind game. You're playing video games in your mind. And they're empty and meaningless. That's all I'm trying to get you to see. Bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Anybody else? Gary, you're doing it.
No, I'm done.
You done?
Done?
Take it, big guy.
I'm cooked.